What is going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to hang out with Darren and Joseph of Reconciler over Zoom video. We hear both Joseph and Darren's journey in music. Joseph was born and raised South Alabama, then went to college at Auburn, and then eventually moved out to Atlanta, Georgia, and that's where the band started. Darren grew up in Pennsylvania, moved to Orlando, Florida, and then up to Atlanta as well. They had both started playing music at an early age, formed different bands, and while Joseph was doing a solo singer-songwriter thing, he was recording with Darren. Darren's also an audio engineer, and Darren was like, hey, if you're ever ready to start a band, let's start a band. Kind of bugged him enough. And the two of them got together, started writing some songs, and then eventually formed Reconciler. We hear about the release of their first EP and that first album. They had a big tour booked for overseas in the summer of 2020, but obviously that all got canceled. So we talk about what they had going on during the lockdowns. They talk a lot about the new album. And Joseph is also a visual artist, does a lot of painting, and he has a series of paintings which goes with the singles and the album as a whole. And he really talks about how those two are intertwined as far as like the meaning behind the paintings and the album. Is really interesting. So make sure to check out their new album, which is called Art for Our Sake. You can watch our interview with Darren and Joseph on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our channel. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it would be amazing if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Reconciler. Awesome. Well, I'm Adam. Thank you both for doing this.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us.
Of course. This is about you both and your journey in music and the band and the new album and everything else that's happening.
Yeah.
Cool.
I apologize. Give me 30 seconds and I'll be right back. Continue on without me.
Okay. We'll start with Joseph's story then.
Yeah. We would love to, Darren. See ya.
Right on, man. Well, the band, from what I was reading, started in Atlanta. Are you originally from Atlanta?
No, I've lived here for like 16 years, going on 17 years, I think, but I'm from Alabama originally, down on the Gulf Coast.
Okay. What part of Alabama?
Across the bay from Mobile, near Gulf Shores, that area down there.
Yeah. Rad. So fairly close to the water there, or not so much?
Very much so. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I live in Nashville now, but, last year my wife and I went down to Orange, like Florabama, like Orange Beach, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, man.
Cool down there.
it's an experience for sure. Yeah. But
that Florabama, like, bar thing is rad though. I mean, there's like all these rooms set up. I'm sure you've been in there. There's like all these rooms, totally. And you're kind of, it's like a maze, and like each room has a different band playing. It was really cool.
It's very much gentrified these days, you know what I mean? Like that place back in the day was like full of like almost literal pirates, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not a place that you just like rolled in with the family. Yeah, no.
Oh, really? Yeah, they've done a good job. I mean, they gave us free ticket. We ate at the restaurant, and we're like talking to the hostess. We're like, what's up with that place across the street? She's like, oh, if you show your receipt, you get in for free. They have bands and stuff. I was like, oh, rad. I just went and checked it out.
Yeah, it's a very different place now. But yeah, like that being said, that part of Alabama, I think, is very much an anomaly from the rest of the state, pretty much. So when I tell people that I'm from Alabama, they're like, what? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's
were you close to that area or not so much?
So, yeah, I probably lived like, I don't know, about a 30-minute drive from Orange Beach there.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Just a little bit inland, yeah.
And then you moved to Georgia after that. You said you've been there in 12 years about now.
Yeah, so I went to I left there, went to college at Auburn University, which is like, about 110 miles from Atlanta in East Alabama. And experienced being landlocked for the first time in my life. That was really shocking. And then I guess it didn't matter enough how shocking it was because I moved to Atlanta after that. Yeah.
There you go. How did you get into music? Do you come from like a musical family, creative household at all?
I mean, not so much, no. I have an uncle that played drums in a band when I was growing up, and I thought it was super cool. I would get to see them occasionally, he had this like red sparkle drum kit that I thought was really, really beautiful. I just wanted to play drums. My parents, instead of getting me a drum kit, got me an acoustic guitar for my 7th birthday. And
Wow, that's young.
I've been playing guitar ever since. I think they just thought about me playing drums in the house all the time. We're like, I think he's more of a guitar player,
That's
So now I'm 40 and I still want to play drums and I still can't. So
funny.
there
Yeah, I
we
have
go.
a 7-year-old, and when COVID first started, I mean, he was like 3 or 4, and he had so much energy, and it was like, what am I going to do? And we lived in a townhouse at the time. We got him a drum set, but we got him like the electric one. So it has a real kick. So it can kind of get loud and annoying, but at least he wouldn't be driving the whole neighborhood like up the wall. So technology has changed that game a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
So you started guitar at 7. And then when did you start like writing songs or joining a band or anything like that? Was that much later?
So yeah, I mean it was. Well, I like played with friends in middle school and stuff. I started to really like dig playing guitar a lot in middle school. Because that's when I really started to find music of my own, I'd always really loved music and wanted to be a musician, I think, for as long as I can remember. But that's when it really started to kind of dig in. But I took surfing way more seriously than playing guitar back then, or like being in a band. I don't think I really had like a lot of confidence around being in a band back then. And like, so when I left the coast for the first time and couldn't surf anymore, that's when I really started playing guitar, like 3, 4 hours a day. Like if I wasn't in class, I was playing guitar. And that's when I decided like that this is something that I want to dedicate way more time doing rather than just like jamming with people or being in like a band that lasts for a minute and then it's, not a band anymore. So
So once you got to school and wait, did you start a band there when you're in college?
yeah, I played music there. Nothing noteworthy that I would be willing to talk to you about on this podcast.
Okay.
I played music there a lot. Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, let's get to you, Darren, real quick, and then I want to know about moving to Georgia and how this band started. But Darren,
Sure.
were you born and raised in Atlanta?
No, I am from northwestern Pennsylvania, small
Oh,
town.
wow.
And
Okay.
very isolated, very small.
Right on. What was it like growing up there?
It
Besides
was
being isolated and small.
backwards. Yeah, it was like 10 years behind everybody else, whether it's haircuts or clothing or whatever it was. It's just, yeah. It was, but I didn't know any better. I didn't know any different. And yeah, that's the way it was.
Right
So,
on. Do you, what about you as far as the musical family or creative household?
it's a weird one because, neither of my parents played, and I didn't know that anybody in my family did or anything like that. And then it was years later when I found out that my grandfather actually played, and I was in high school. And I started playing sax like 4th, 5th grade kind of thing, and was doing that. And but I was just hungry. I was just like, I'll play whatever. This is fun. This is musical, whatever. And then for like a talent show, some friends of mine and I were going to do a something, and I needed a guitar, and my dad's like, well, just maybe talk to your grandpa and you can borrow his. I'm like, grandpa has a guitar? And
Wow.
never knew it. And then next thing I know, I find out he's got this beautiful 50s Gibson acoustic and some electric and other stuff. I just never saw him playing when I was a kid. But my dad said that when he was growing up, my grandpa was playing it all the time, so it just kind of missed a generation, I guess, with things. But yeah, so just yeah, it was
Did you end up playing his guitar? You ended up getting that guitar?
he let me borrow it.
Okay, I was going to say, damn, that thing is probably expensive.
I went. I didn't know that either. There was no internet. There was nothing else back then.
Sure.
I borrowed it. I left it in the backseat of my car. I went to high school that day. And then we had a fire drill. So we're all in the parking lot, whatever. And I happened to be by my car and looked at my car, and the guitar was gone.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But the weird story was that it was just like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. And I'm freaking out. But when I told my dad, he freaked out even more, because he's like, you have no idea what that guitar means. When he got out of the military, that was the first thing he bought, et cetera, et cetera. So, and yeah, that's when I found out the real history of that guitar and what it meant to the family. And you know, so luckily my band instructor got involved. We put flyers up around the school, and like the next day I got a, you know, called out of class. Of course I didn't sleep, couldn't sleep, whatever. Next day got called out of class, and they, somebody had found it. Somebody had got it out of my car and threw it down the hill, and it was in the bushes down there all night long. And luckily didn't rain, didn't do like no moisture, and got it back the day. And I went to my grandfather and like, grandpa, I found, you know, because I'd already told him that I lost it or got stolen. And the next day I had to like go back and, grandpa, we found it. And he's like, cool, grabbed it, put it mirror back
and closed it. He's like, well, that's the last time you're ever playing this guitar.
I didn't do it either, so I had to find a different guitar for the talent show or whatever. So.
Wow. I've never heard that story before. That's so wild.
Yeah. You know, you get the like, I'm very disappointed feeling from, you know, when people say stuff like, I never did that hard up to that point in my life.
So. Oh my God. Did you guys find out the dick that took it out of your car?
No, I never did.
That sucks.
But at that point I was back. It was cool.
All that matters is you got it back.
Yeah.
And, oh my Lord.
You know, and years, many, many years later, when he passed away, I did inherit it. So I do have it in my possession now. So it's still like,
it's in the family. You're not going to leave your car anymore.
It's not going to be in my car. But geez, yeah. So,
okay. So you were able to play this, you played the talent show, you said?
We did. I had to borrow a guitar from somebody else. It was obviously not nearly as good. But.
Right. What did you play? Was it original song or did you just do a cover?
No, we did a cover. That was Indigo Girls, Closer to Fine.
Nice. Holy shit.
yeah
you're learning so much about Darren right now. This is awesome.
that's what it was.
That's awesome. And then from, you know, seventh grade I believe on, were you playing bands or anything?
I think it started because I was playing in different bands, like concert band and marching band and jazz band and stuff. We would just kind of pockets of us would just kind of get together and do stuff on the side. Okay. I did have a band where it was me on Barry sax. I had a bass player and I had a drummer, and we were doing it. And then like suddenly Morphine came out too. So it was like, holy shit, this is exactly what we've been trying to do, but obviously way better because there's vocals and slide of bass and whatever, but we were there. And then we got a lot of inspiration from that, but we would write tunes and then make cassettes, sell a shit ton of them. And then we would, the band instructor was so supportive and was like, hey guys, you guys want to, we're going to play the nursing home. You guys want to play your songs for the.
Wow.
Yeah. So we,
you got to open up for the school band.
Kind of. Yeah. You know, nursing home. Okay. You know, yeah. So, but you know,
that's, and then cool.
Marching band, people would learn the songs and we would start playing them at the football games, whatever, just whatever. It was fun.
Damn, you got to play your own originals at like football games like that?
Yeah, it was all instrumental stuff. So
but
it was
still,
just
that's pretty
fun,
amazing.
Groovy. Yeah, it was, it kind of just, but it's the bug was there. I couldn't stop. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Did you end up going to college or anything for music? If you're that kind of involved in band?
Yeah, I was a sax major and a bass minor. For a semester. my sax guy was a very old school classical way, and I was like, I don't know what this is. I'm a skateboarder, punk rock, whatever it is, like rock and roll. We obviously didn't, you know, we didn't get along very well. So I dropped out and I went to college for audio engineering and got my degree with that and been kind of doing that along with bands ever since. So
rad. Did you go to school in Pennsylvania or did you, is I that did. When you moved
first? Okay. I first did. And then I moved to Florida, and that's what got me into Florida I'm sorry. Well, this has nothing to do with Florida, but yeah, then I moved to Florida to go to Full Sail, audio engineering, that kind of stuff. And I was in Florida in general for 17, 18 years.
Wow.
Before I moved to Atlanta. Okay. 14 years ago now. So
what took you to Atlanta then, Joseph? Was it music or something totally different?
Something totally different. It was like a relationship brought me here.
Okay.
Didn't last. I didn't think I would be here very long afterwards, and then I just stayed here. There was like a lot of opportunities to play music here, especially compared to where I came from, you know, and you know, seemingly a lot of opportunities to be an artist as well. So yeah, just been here,
just hung out. Okay, cool. And then you played in multiple bands prior to this one, or which project before this?
Yeah. Played in several bands, and then kind of got jaded with putting bands together and bands falling apart. And I just did singer-songwriter stuff for a good lot of years without playing in bands at all. And that's like kind of the time that I met Darren. And he told me if I ever got tired of doing that dumb singer-songwriter thing, that we should start a band together. And I did get tired of it. And we started a band together.
How quickly after he told you that? Would you stay solo for a while?
No, it'd be years. No, it was years in the work.
It was a couple of years, I think. But
I was working on his engineer. I was, you know, mastering whatever his acoustic stuff, and so we were always crossing paths and being at the same shows, watching other bands, and it was just kind of it took me a while.
So he was coming in to record with you or master stuff with you, and then that's how you initially met. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I just going to shows and just like, oh, you're wearing my friend's band shirt. And he's like, oh yeah, I didn't know you're friends with them, and whatever. Just a small world and being new in town for me and not having anybody or any, you know, just being completely fresh and new. To see something similar or familiar like that. I'm like, oh hell yeah, we should be friends, not knowing anything. Not knowing any better. It's not how that stuff works. He's this weird creepy guy. Like, he's wanting to be my friend, you know.
And then the two of you end up forming Reconciler right there? Or not there, but like after conversations begin, and that's kind of when you start playing together?
Yeah, definitely. I think we started kind of working on song ideas in 2015 together. And it just started being a thing where, like, Darren had a really good home studio set up, and I would go over there once a week or so, and we would just, like, work for a few hours and work on these ideas that I had. And I think it was pretty slow forming because I was trying to get out of being in a place where I was singing a lot quieter and playing primarily acoustic guitar for years at this point, and, like, trying to be like, all right, what's, like, how do I get back on the other side of these tracks, you know, and get back in shape for that stuff and, you know, figure out how I'm going to write this stuff, how we're going to write this stuff, and how it's going to sound. So we kind of got to start pretty slow, where it was just casual of like, let's figure these things out and even see if it seems like they're going to float at all, you know? And I had I had a show booked, a solo show booked with Drag the River.
Oh wow.
That are good friends of Darren's as well. And we were like jamming, and I was like, I'm playing with Drag the River soon. You should come out to that show. And he was like, well, we got these like six or seven tunes. Why don't we just get a drummer and a bass player? I mean, a drummer and another guitar player, and just make that the first band show. And that was like 3 weeks before that show. So we did, and it like worked out. And then that was our first show. Yeah.
And you found somebody to play drums, or was the drummer, there's only three of you. It's a three piece now.
Yeah. We started as a four piece though.
Okay.
Yeah. So like our first EP was a four piece. And then by the time we made an LP, we were down to a three piece. But yeah, so that drummer stayed with us up until, I guess the end of 2019.
Something like that. Wow.
Years. I can't remember exactly when, but yeah, it sounds about right.
Because you all put out set us free. And then you, from what I was reading, like you had a big tour scheduled and you're going to go to Europe. And then obviously the pandemic shuts everything down.
Yeah.
So that record came out like super early in 2019. So we played a bunch of shows that year.
Okay.
And like we toured more than we ever have that year. And I think, you know, we're all people that have full-time jobs at this point and a lot of obligations. And, you know, Kelsey, our first drummer, you know, he has two kids and stuff. And like we were touring a lot that year and he was like, dudes, like I can't.
Yeah. Married, he was like, kids, and which neither one of us were married at the time. So, yeah.
You know, so it was definitely not like, you know, not a bad parting, but it was like by the time we got to that end of that year, he was like, I got to figure out how to like sleep at some point. I can't work 60 hour weeks and then keep going on tour with you, you know,
with you knucklehead.
So then when COVID hits, is that when you start working on this record or was it like obviously pretty, you know, shitty for everyone, but like to have this whole being stoked on like, oh, we're going to do our first European tour and the album's doing. And then it's like all that's taken away. At what point do you start working on this album?
I mean, I think we, you know, we started 2020 off with a bunch of plans and stuff, but then by springtime, that was obviously changed. But like, I don't know that we did really much at all for all of 2020. Like, I don't know when that Patreon stuff kicked in. But that's like what got us even like kind of communicating as a band again was like, we had like, you know, we had gotten a new drummer at that point who had played 7 shows with us. I think that were all on one tour. That was it.
Yeah.
And then that was it. But like our old label AF like started a Patreon, that we would like record things remotely from home and stuff like that and submit like one song a month. So like, but you know, I think for the most part, Darren and I were just re-recording songs that we had and doing like acoustic versions of it where like I was playing acoustic guitar and singing and he was playing like baritone sax on it and stuff instead of playing bass.
Oh, wow.
So we were just kind of like reimagining songs that we had.
That was probably a pretty cool experience. I mean, especially for you, Darren, as a, you know, growing up in as a band guy, you know, then be able to play that on a record. If you listen to the albums, it doesn't sound like a baritone sax would work. I mean, not work, but doesn't vibe with what you've recorded on these songs.
There was a short period. Yeah, we played a couple shows in that lineup years ago when we first, the special events where, you know, I think Kelsey couldn't play the show, but we really felt like we needed to be a part of the show. So we did two shows as a duo in that lineup. So it's cool because, you know, I can play the bass parts on the Barry and it's fun. And he plays, you know, a little more cleaner, you know, a little less yelling and in your face. But it's a cool little vibe, kind of creepy, kind of dark. And so I think after stepping away from that for so many years and then with doing this Patreon stuff, it was what if we did something like that again? And so we did a couple tunes that were like that, but it was just a throwback in a way. Nothing too crazy.
That's cool. Did you guys, I mean, that must've been a pretty fun process though. Like being able to kind of restructure songs like that.
I mean, I think it was definitely a bit of excitement in like a really, really weird time where it was like, oh shit, let's even figure out how like the shit I have at my house is going to work with the shit you have at your house. And I can't go over there. So I'm going to record guitar and vocals over here. And
send them over.
And I'm the furthest thing from an audio engineer and he's a real audio engineer. So like half the tracks that I'm sending him, he's like, ooh, I think that one's corrupted. He's just like throwing it away. You know, he's like, I don't want that on the fucking song. You don't think I'd know.
You're like, but it sounds fine on my end over at my house.
Yeah, looks good. No one was doing anything, not even concerning music. Like no one was doing anything in life. It was like, oh shit, we have a song to submit by Tuesday, let's figure this out. So it was really fun. And I think like noticing like, you know, that like jolt of energy that I got personally from like being like, oh, we got to make a song and submit it to this thing or whatever was like, dude, not playing music is like having such a strong effect on my life that, like, you know, I think a lot, I mean, a lot of people did. I think like when they got to this point, it was like, dude, I'm kind of at the end of my rope with playing music anyway. Like, this is the great time to just hang it up, you know? Yeah. But I felt like getting to do that stuff and, you know, realizing how it was really making me feel was like, I can't, you know, as soon as we can get back in the room and start playing music again, I got to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think that was like the spark that made sure that we were going to come back and make another record.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine how it's so hard for artists. I mean, unless you're a Taylor Swift, like during that whole time, not being able to play live shows just was crushed so many bands. I mean, that's how, you know, a lot of the income comes from the shows and the merch and everything else.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we don't make any money playing music anyway. We probably saved money by not playing music for a year and a half. I'll be honest with you. Like, you know, like I didn't have to spend, you know, that saved me like $1,000 set of tires on the van in those couple of years, you know?
There you go.
but you know, yeah, it was difficult for everybody. And like, sure. But you know, I think we were definitely just like chomping at the bit to be able to get back in there and do it in whatever capacity that we could, you know. Mm-hmm.
And so once everything opens up, is that when you start working on this record so everyone could be in the same room? Or
yeah, I mean, I think whenever we first started being able to get back in the room again and just like, you know, we just started jamming once a week again and like realizing how absolutely awful we are, you know, as a band at that point, like just out of shape, can't palm mute, can't sing, can't be on key, can't remember how to play our songs. You know what I mean? It was like so much atrophy of everything, you know, like, so we had to like, just get back in shape again. But, yeah. And I remember, I was feeling kind of paralyzed as far as songwriting goes at the time. I just like, couldn't get it to really start flowing again, you know, mm-hmm. even though I wanted to. But Darren brought in a riff that ended up being that 38 special song on the record. And that was like the first new thing that we worked on for the record.
Not and, special.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Don't sue us. 38 regular. Yeah.
I was going to say. 38
regular. It's moving yeah. on.
It's yeah, just a right. it's just a funny joke, not a ripoff. Get out of here. So yeah, he brought that riff in, and I think I went home after that practice and sat on my back deck with my acoustic guitar, and I think I might have sent you guys a voice memo of like singing all the lyrics that night, even if not, it was the next night. I don't remember, but it just like kind of getting that riff into a place where it needed to be during the course of that practice. I just went home and then just like kind of the floodgates opened up from there.
Like, yeah, I was going to ask down. At that point, was it like, okay, you got that one out and everything else yeah. kind of came.
Yeah, totally. Quickly. It was like, just drop the hammer. And like, you know, it took us a while for various reasons to actually be able to get to the recording stage. But like, by the time we got there, we had 17 songs, you know.
And that's only because we cut it off. That's like, we at that point the juices were flowing and there were song ideas coming everywhere and everybody was inspired. We were inspiring each other, and it was just, yeah, it's like we have to like slow down. We can't record all these songs and we don't have the time or the budget or the, you know, yeah. So just, but it was happening. It's cool to see the spark, you know,
yeah,
flamed. And yeah, so it was good. So,
and then you took the 17 and cut it down to what, 13 on the album?
We recorded 16.
Oh, you recorded 16. Okay.
We got a couple up our sleeve.
There you go.
A couple ideas.
Is this the first album you guys have done with Smart Punk?
Yes.
Yes.
How did that relationship form?
I've known Grant from Smart Punk for a lot of years. Back in Florida, I had a studio for a period of time where he was one of my partners in it. And so this is long before he even did Smart Punk, but so I've known Grant forever. I actually recorded his old bands, which is how I got into the studio. So, but like, so him and I've always kind of known each other. And then he started doing Smart Bunk, and, you know, we just kept seeing him around. Obviously, all of the people he got to work with him are, you know, mutual friends of ours too. So it's pretty awesome to him just get that Orlando family together, all kind of with the same, you know, purpose. But yeah, we just kept running into him, you know, all these festivals and all the things and all the, you know, bands he's putting out were friends of ours. So over the years, we just kind of always had, you know, just when I would talk about it, like, okay, if, you know, if our label doesn't work out, like what would we do? And then it's like, well, why not, you know, why wouldn't we just call Grand or Smart Pump and see, you know, what that would be? I'm like, yeah, makes sense. And then when that time came, it was like, okay, is this the time that we make the call? And what if they say no? What if they're busy? And it's like, so we had a, you know, mental short list. I think we had a list. I don't know if we ever, like, we had ideas, but I don't know if we ever agreed on those ideas. Luckily, we didn't have.
Yeah.
To. It was.
Yeah. I wanted Geffen first, and you wanted RCA first. And
yeah.
Then, like, so we settled decided, in the middle at Smart yeah. Bunk. Yeah.
We decided on Smart Bunk.
Yeah. It's like, it wouldn't be fair to either one of us to choose either one of those, really, you know? So we just,
yeah.
We both like Smart Punk, so that's where we went first. Yeah.
Smart Punk has some rad bands. I mean,
yeah,
that's a totally. Great label yeah. to be with. That's so cool. Did I see, Joseph, you did the art? You're an artist, right? Did you do the art for the cover of the record?
Yes. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. That's such a great, I mean, that's really, really cool. Is that something you kind of do more full time?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm a visual artist and a custom furniture maker by day. That's my main safe, secure job outside of playing music.
That's cool, man. That's a great. Just, did you do that just for the album, or was it something you had and you're like, oh, this would be a cool cover?
I mean, so it's like
Darren's laughing. Is that a bad question?
No, he's just
see how he answers it.
He's just scared to see if I'm going to talk for the next 45 minutes without taking a breath or not.
Oh, I'm ready.
No, so like that painting comes from like an ongoing series that's like third in a series. I have the fourth one almost done now, but like they're really big. That one is like, you know, it's over 4 feet in the vertical direction. So it's really big.
Whoa.
So they take a long time to paint because they're oil paintings.
Damn, and I was going to ask you what medium it is. That's an oil. It almost looks, it looked just because yeah. I'm looking at it on my computer, it looks. Just like you did it digitally, but damn,
sure,
that's crazy. I think
most people think it's a digital collage, but it's like it's sort of taking like a collage approach to oil painting.
Like the lips are so detailed, like damn, and the teeth, holy shit, like the lighting.
Thanks,
wow, man, that's really good.
It's a lot easier to paint that detail when it's really big. Like your brush like fits in the creases of those lips, you know what I mean, rather than trying to paint them actual size. Then you got to have a brush that's got like two little hairs and a magnifying glass. Like my hands like shake, my hands get all shaky. I have to paint big.
Damn.
But
so you said that's it's 4 feet tall though. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's probably like, and maybe it's bigger than that. It's probably about 50 inches by like 38 or 40, something like that. And like one of the other ones from maybe the second single that came out, like all the singles have different paintings on the covers. But one of those is like the other vertical one's like 6.5 feet tall. That one's huge.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
But like, so it's a series where I'm sort of like, you know, that I started in like probably right at the end of 2019. And really got going with it in 2020. And like those paintings are kind of exploring the same ideas that this record is. And like when I got to like the point where I was painting that third one, we were like really kind of starting to button up the writing of this record. And, you know, it just like made sense that that would be the one that went on the cover. Because I felt like things I was trying to address in those paintings was kind of getting dialed in, and the things that I was trying to talk about in songs were getting dialed in, and those things were becoming more and more the same. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not like we made a record and I set out to be like, all right, I'm going to paint a cover for this record now, and this is the cover of the record. It's like, was getting there from two different angles at the same time. And like, that's where both of my like disciplines collided, was finishing that painting and finishing this record.
Oh, interesting. Well, can you talk about that a little bit? Like what the what the album's about, and then is and then how it kind of relates to the art?
Yeah, I would be thrilled to. Darren, if you have somewhere to be, just you can check back in a little while.
And actually, I have a question before you answer that one, because I'm super fascinated. Is the Shots in the Dark and then Never Fade Away, are those the first two in the series of paintings, or are those totally different? Or are those not? Because one of them has the lips on it, too.
Those are the first two, yeah. But the Never Fade Away one is the first one.
Okay, so that was the first one, and then the next one was Shots in that the cover that you have for that one, and then the album, and then you said there's a fourth one in the series too.
Yeah, it's almost done. I just haven't been able to work on it in a couple months. So
okay, and that will that come out as a piece of the same album?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it'll work out that like the stuff that we're holding back right now, it'll be on that, or maybe it'll be something else. You know, cool. We'll see.
And as far as that, did you do Set Us Free also?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Damn.
That one's really big. It's like I don't know, like 5 feet by 6 feet or something almost, I think.
Jeez. Yeah, these are so good, man.
Thanks. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's awesome for me because I'm not a visual guy, and he is, obviously. But yeah, so it's kind of a amazing tag team, but it's also doomed because, like, you know, I'll do the audio side of it and he does the visual side of it, so it's we're always kind of busy, but we're always like leaning on each other for another person to do something. So but it's awesome because we can do it in-house. So
sure. Yeah, I mean, like, that's such a rad art. What about the Ship Thieves album, the split you did? Did you do that one too? I mean, it looks similar.
I did that one too, and I painted that one specifically for that split. Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool.
I was I got to talk to Wallard on the phone, and I just like wanted to get the lyrics for his song and also just talk to him about what it was about. Mm-hmm. And like I took both of our songs and the lyrics and kind of sat down with both of them and kind of made that image out of like merging our two songs together or whatever.
Wow.
It's a little bit of like an apocalyptic kind of scene there or whatever, but like that line in the Ship Thief song is it keeps referencing a tunnel over and over again, and like that's kind of where the shape of that panel came from. I just like
The door, like the
and like, because that's the shape of the actual panel, it's not like a square painting with just that image on it, it's shaped like that.
Oh no way, that's awesome.
Yeah,
like the canvas itself is like that. It's like it looks like a church window-ish. I don't know what you call that kind of window.
The same elliptical, I think.
Okay.
And Set Us Free is the same. It's like a wood panel that's shaped like that.
Damn, that's awesome.
So it's just like, you know, about like pulling subject matter out of these songs and trying to make an image that, to me, like kind of communicated where those songs were going or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you said you did with this album. So can you, tell me about that.
Yeah. So like this record, I mean, I don't know. I like, fortunately at this point, I've gotten to like write about it a lot and talk about it a lot. So I think I'm getting better at getting like the short answer rather than having to like walk you through my entire life and our entire life as a band to get there.
I got to tell you. Like,
you know, it's like it's kind of a
get
thing,
my kid from
like,
the bus stop for a bit.
Like, I don't know if you, like, I don't know if you've experienced this thing with like memorization, where like if you like know all the words to a song, like you can't just say like what the 11th line is in the song. You got to do the 10 that come before it, and then you'll know what the 11th one is or whatever.
Right, like, right. You're like, okay, I'll know the lyrics, but I got to like ramp up to it.
Yeah. That's the only way I know my own songs as well. It's frustrating for Darren sometimes. He's like, what's that one part? And I'm like, well, let me play the 2 minutes that come before it. And then when we get there, you just throw your hand up and I'll know what the fuck you're talking about. But that being said, I think I'm getting better at like the short answer of this stuff. But like this record is really about like just trying to shift perspectives and find a more positive outlook on life, like sort of feeling like we live in absolute chaos at every turn, but like trying to like find a new lens to find like beauty and positivity in that chaos. and like starting to realize that if you do start looking for it amid all of that chaos, you can really start to find it again. You know what I mean? And just the same thing with like, you know, despair. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to look for that, it's everywhere and it's so easy to see, you know, like finding the good stuff harder to find, but it's still there, you know? So that's kind of what that record is about. And it's about this journey of like wanting to get to a place of more positivity with a brighter outlook on life in like, you know, this contemporary world that we live in, but acknowledging the path that it takes to get there and all the pitfalls that are there. So like, there's a lot of negativity in these songs, you know, but like, for me, at least, it's about acknowledging that negativity and being like, hey, here's another thing that you can easily slip into. I did. I lived in that hole for years. Like, but if you just like, you know, go this way, you can find yourself in a better place. So with the paintings, it's sort of the same thing. It's like feeling like at every moment, you know, we're like existing with multiple screens now, right? So like, you know, I'm looking at you on a computer screen. My phone is right here, you know. Like there's just like, there could just as easily be a TV screen there playing Netflix. And like, you know, we're having conversations with each other. There could be text messages coming through on this thing. There's different like email things popping up over here. And like all of that information can just start to melt together into this weird, like overwhelming experience, I think, at least for me. I'm just like kind of sensitive to like sensitive to stimulation and energy, you know what I mean? And like I get overwhelmed just being like, you know, like one fucking thing at a time, please. I can't, like, you know. But anyway, so like
I feel it. I'm the same way, like 100%. Like my wife will, I'll go on her, she'll go on my computer, and on her computer is like 75 tabs open. She never closes apps out. It like literally gives me anxiety. Like I'm like, don't go, like every time I tell her, I'm like, every time you go on my computer, I swear to God, like there's some new thing downloaded or some plug-in, and it just like free. I'm like, I can't look at notifications. Like if there's a bunch of notifications, that I don't know, that's so funny that like it, that drives me so nuts. Like I just can't handle it.
It's a lot, you know, and it feel in like can start to feel like it's hard to have a real experience. Like what's the difference between the real world that we live in and this simulation of a world that's all around us now? You know, like those lines are getting super thin and blurry, you know?
And they're only getting thinner with all the AI stuff. That's
dude, I've just been seeing like goofy ass videos all week of people like walking into polls wearing those things out in public and stuff. Like those like virtual reality. Like it's just like, all right, here we are. But anyway, so the paintings are like this exercise of like trying to just embrace that chaos and like pull from all of these different things like that are just firing in my brain, all of these different responses to all of this stimulation. And it's about like just exploring all that instead of trying to be overwhelmed and freaked out by it. Just be like, yeah, just let it wash over you and like build something out of it and try to make something beautiful out of it. Like try to build something that like means something out of it and figure out what it's like to live then, rather than just like feeling like I'm living, trying to like shield myself from all of this shit, you know? So it's like, you know, I love art and museums and stuff. So there's a lot of like references to like really famous, you know, art images in those that I'm pulling from. And like, you know, they're not exact copies, but it's my versions of repainting those things. Like the main figure in the new album cover painting is like, it's my interpretation of Botticelli's Venus from his Birth of Venus painting, you know. But those lips are just from like lipstick ads, you know.
And it's interesting.
It's like when you're trying to find a good high res version of Botticelli's Birth of Venus painting, like the amount of ads that you have to like scroll past to get there, you know. So it's just like, you know, it's just exploring that stuff and being like, I'm just going to embrace it and layer it up like that. And like start with this kind of like stark landscape painting and just build my experience on top of it, you know? And that painting is like, specifically, it's like, you know, it's sort of this life cycle there. So there's like this Birth of Venus figure is a skull representing death and not a lot of time left, obviously. And like, you know, a swan kind of traditionally represents transformation in a lot of ways. So it's like, it's about like, just like, hey, look, there's not a lot of time here. just try to find something cool while you're stop focusing on negative shit. Build something cool. Think cool, because like there's not a lot of time. And that's what I'm trying to do with the record, you know?
I love it, man. That's awesome. And you guys finally have that European those shows coming up, right? Did I see that? You get to actually do them?
We do. Can you believe it? It's crazy. Like,
finally.
Yeah. I mean, it's like getting real now. I'm like plane tickets on a credit card and stuff. It's like,
damn.
Yeah. Like, a bunch of people that are like on the other side of the planet that are like, yeah, don't worry about it. We got you covered. Just show up here.
That's so cool. You're doing that. Some of the fest stuff, right? The pre-fest stuff. And you're playing with Hot Water Music on that other big festival. I mean, there's a lot. You guys got a lot of rad stuff coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, we couldn't be more stoked to be on that festival. Those are like, there's a lot of bands that are, you know, have been huge to us, you know, in a lot of ways. And like, you know, to get to travel all the way over there and end up in the same place and get to play the same festival. That's rad.
Yeah. Yeah, that Manchester festival looks insane.
Yeah. it's pretty crazy, all the weird friends from weird spaces that are all
going to be there.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's really cool. Well, I appreciate both of you for doing this. Thank you so much for coming
on and chatting.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've one more question. I want to know, like, if you have any advice to aspiring artists or somebody that's looking into getting into this, like any wisdom you could share with them.
Don't be a jerk.
That's a good one.
I deal with artists all day. Musicians. I deal with musicians all day. You can be nice. Don't be a jerk. Just like you can get so much further. You know, if you can be a okay songwriter or musician, you get so much further in this if you're nicer and cooler about it. You know, I'm a prime example of that. I'm not very good musically, but I've gotten pretty okay by being not a jerk. There's other ones that are way more talented, but like nobody wants to work with them because they're So it's just that's my advice right now. Sorry.
Love it.
I think that's pretty great. Darren, I'm going to start as soon as this podcast is over. I'm going to start trying to take a page from that book and we'll see.
Start being nice.
Goes. Yeah. See how it goes. But I think my first advice about being an artist or a musician would be don't. My second bit of advice would be just make sure that it's worth it to you. If you're willing to sacrifice everything, then it's the coolest. But like, if you're going to come in half-hearted or half-assed, just like save yourself the time, do something that makes money or do something to benefit the world in a better place. But like, if you're willing to like live a completely different life than all of your friends and family and be completely misunderstood for probably the rest of your life, then like you can do some really, really cool shit.